You're listening to an Ask Anything research briefing from askanything-app.com. CVE 2026-34486, The Bug That Ate Its Own Fix. A Defender Briefing, narrated. Let's start with the headline. In the first week of August 2026, the U.S. government's cybersecurity agency, CISA, did something it only does when it has real confirmation. It added a vulnerability in Apache Tomcat to its known exploited vulnerabilities list, the KEV catalog. That list isn't theoretical. Getting added to it means CISA believes, based on its own evidence, that attackers are actively using this flaw right now. Federal agencies were given until August 7th to fix it. That's a remediation window measured in days, not months. The vulnerability is called CVE 2026-34486, and it lives inside Apache Tomcat, one of the most widely deployed Java web servers on the planet. But here's what makes this one worth sitting with. It isn't really a new bug. It's a mistake inside a fix for a different bug. Let that sink in for a second, because it's the whole story. Back in February 2026, researchers reported a weakness in a Tomcat feature called Encrypt Interceptor. This component exists for one purpose. When you run a cluster of Tomcat servers that need to share session data with each other, Encrypt Interceptor encrypts that traffic so it can safely cross a network you don't fully control. The problem was, it used an encryption mode, AES and CBC mode, that's well known among cryptographers to be vulnerable to something called a padding oracle attack. Basically, if a system behaves even slightly differently depending on whether decryption succeeded or failed, say, responding a few milliseconds faster or slower, an attacker can exploit that tiny difference to slowly reconstruct encrypted data without ever knowing the key. Researchers at Oligo Security showed this could be leveraged to forge login sessions and, in the worst case, get full remote code execution on the server. Apache's engineers did what you'd want them to do. They wrote a patch. They shipped it in April 2026 across all three supported Tomcat branches, versions 9, 10, and 11. Problem solved. Except it wasn't. Here's where it gets uncomfortable. In fixing the padding oracle issue, the patch accidentally introduced a new defect, and this new defect is CVE 2026-34486. The one now on CISA's exploited list. To understand it, you have to picture the original code. Before the fix, when Tomcat received a cluster message, it would try to decrypt it, and if that decryption failed for any reason, the whole operation was wrapped in a safety net, a try-catch block, that made sure a failed message was simply thrown away. Nothing bad could happen with it. The patch moved one critical line of code outside that safety net. After the fix, if decryption fails, Tomcat still logs an error message, so on the surface, it looks like the system is behaving correctly, but then it goes ahead and processes the message anyway. It hands the raw, unencrypted, completely unverified bytes straight into Java's deserialization system. And Java deserialization, when it's not carefully locked down, is one of the most dangerous things you can expose to untrusted input, because a cleverly constructed byte sequence can trick the program into running arbitrary commands. So think about what that means in practice. The encryption layer was supposed to be the gatekeeper. You need the shared secret key to get your data processed. But now, the way to get past that gatekeeper isn't to guess the key. It's to send something that fails to decrypt. Fail the lock, and the door opens anyway. Security researchers reconstructed this exact flow from Apache's own source code history, and within weeks, working exploit code was public on GitHub, using a well-known Java attack technique called a Commons Collections Gadget Chain, capable of achieving full remote code execution against any exposed Tomcat cluster node. No password required. No user interaction required. Nothing. Just network access to the clustering port, which by default is TCP 4000. That gap between the formal description of this bug, missing encryption of sensitive data, which sounds almost administrative, and its actual real-world impact, unauthenticated remote code execution, is exactly why you'll see wildly different severity scores depending on where you look. The National Vulnerability Database and CISA both rated a 9.8 out of 10, critical, because they're scoring the real outcome. Red Hat rates it 7.5, because they're scoring strictly against the literal text of the vulnerability description. Both numbers are technically defensible. But if you're defending a network, you should treat this as critical, full stop, because independent researchers also calculated something called an EPSS score for it, a prediction of how likely a vulnerability is to be exploited in the next month, and this one landed in the 99.6th percentile. That means it's rated as more likely to be attacked soon than nearly every other tracked vulnerability that exists. Now, here's a detail that trips up a lot of vulnerability scanning tools, so it's worth being precise. Because this second bug was introduced by the fix for the first bug, the window of affected versions is razor thin. It's exactly one specific patch release on each branch. If you're running Tomcat 9.0.116, or October 1st, 53, or 11.0.20, you are exposed to this new flaw, even though those exact versions already contain the fix for the original padding Oracle problem. Confusing, right? A system that looks patched against one CVE is completely exposed to the other. The real fix, the version that closes both holes, is 9.0.117, October 1st, 54, or 11.0.21. Let's talk about who's actually using this, because this is where the story picks up a genuinely strange thread. About a week before CISA's official confirmation, researchers at Palo Alto Networks Unit 42 published a separate report, completely independent of CISA, describing a Chinese-speaking threat actor they tracked under two aliases. This person appears to run a side project aggregating public vulnerability disclosures, and they were also running offensive operations using artificial intelligence tools, specifically, an open-source AI agent framework paired with a Chinese large language model called DeepSeek, letting the AI handle reconnaissance, target discovery, and even some exploit development reasoning on its own. It's tempting to read that and think an AI autonomously hacked into Tomcat servers. That's not quite what happened, and it's an important nuance. Unit 42's own research is very specific. When it came to this Tomcat vulnerability, the exploitation was manual. A human was at the keyboard, sending the crafted network packets by hand, attempting reverse shells against 9 different exposed Tomcat servers. Whether those specific attempts actually succeeded is unclear. The actor deleted the evidence files from their own infrastructure before researchers could confirm it either way. Where the AI genuinely acted on its own was earlier in the campaign, against completely different targets. Researchers recovered session logs showing the AI agent independently downloading exploit code, scanning dozens of instances of one product and then over 600,000 instances of a second product, identifying viable targets, and even reasoning out loud in its own logs about which vulnerability looked most promising based on how many people had started on GitHub. Both of those fully autonomous attempts failed, for mundane reasons, A missing configuration on one target, a login requirement on the other. So the honest picture is this: artificial intelligence dramatically sped up the reconnaissance and target selection phase of this campaign, compressing what would normally take a human days into minutes. But the actual break-ins that succeeded were still carried out the old-fashioned way, by a person. Researchers only learned all of this, by the way, because the attacker made a rookie mistake. Their own automated toolkit accidentally exposed a file server on their operating infrastructure, leaking their configuration files, their target lists, their scripts, and their session logs to anyone who found it. In security, that kind of self-inflicted exposure is often how the most detailed attribution happens. It's worth being careful here about what's confirmed and what isn't. CIS's official confirmation that this vulnerability is being exploited did not name this actor, did not mention DeepSeek, and did not reference artificial intelligence at all. That's simply not how CIS's public listing works. The AI angle comes entirely from Unit 42's separate research. It's very possible, even likely, that other attackers, using entirely conventional methods and the same public exploit code, are also hitting this vulnerability. The AI narrative is one confirmed thread in a bigger, Messier picture, not the whole story. So what do you actually do about this if you're responsible for a Tomcat deployment? The single most valuable thing to watch for in your logs is a very specific decryption failure message. When Tomcat throws that particular error, it's the moment right before the vulnerable code path executes. One instance of that error isn't necessarily an attack. Legitimate systems can throw it during routine key mismatches. But repeated instances of that exact error coming from an IP address that isn't a known member of your cluster is a strong signal that someone is probing you. And here's the uncomfortable part: if an attack actually succeeds, it may not generate any further error at all. The malicious code just runs silently. So that decryption failure line might be the only trace you ever see. Don't wait around for a second alarm that may never come. On the network side, the clustering port this vulnerability rides in on was never designed to be reachable from the open internet in the first place. If you can see that port exposed externally, that's a critical finding all by itself, independent of whether you've spotted active exploitation. If you can't patch immediately, there's a stack of things you can layer together while you plan the upgrade. Lock the clustering port down to only the known, static IP addresses of your actual cluster members. That single step closes off the entire attack path, because everything about this exploit depends on network reachability to that port. If you're not actually using clustering, just turn it off. A lot of systems have it enabled by inherited default configuration without anyone realizing it's active. Move cluster traffic onto a private network segment instead of leaning on the encryption layer as your only protection. You can also switch the encryption mode to a stronger one, but be honest with yourself about what that does and doesn't fix. It patches the original padding Oracle weakness, but it does nothing for this second bug. Because the flaw here is that any message that fails to decrypt gets processed anyway, regardless of which cipher you're using. None of these steps replace actually installing the fixed version. They just buy you time to get there safely. There's also a regulatory layer to this that's worth knowing even if you're not a federal agency. Earlier in 2026, CISA rolled out a new directive that replaced its older, flatter patching deadlines with a more nuanced, risk-based framework. It looks at four things: is the affected system exposed to the internet, is the vulnerability on the confirmed exploited list, can the exploit be automated by an attacker, and how bad is the outcome if someone succeeds. Hit all four, and you're looking at a 3-day remediation clock, plus a requirement to actively check whether you've already been compromised, not just patch and move on. This vulnerability plausibly checks every one of those boxes for any exposed, unpatched deployment. Private organizations aren't legally bound by that federal directive, but treating a KEV listing as a serious prioritization signal is just good practice at this point, especially with confirmed, named threat activity attached to it. Let's end with honesty about what we still don't know, because a report like this is only useful if it's clear about its own limits. We don't know for certain whether those 9 attempted Tomcat compromises actually succeeded. The evidence was deleted before it could be verified. We don't know whether CISA's official confirmation is even connected to this particular actor, or whether it's based on entirely separate telemetry CISA gathered on its own. The timing lines up suspiciously well, but nothing in the public record actually ties the two together. And we don't know the full scale of who else has been hit. The 9 server figure comes from tracking one specific actor, not from a comprehensive count across the internet. But none of that uncertainty changes the bottom line. There's a specific, well-understood flaw in a widely used piece of software. There's working, public exploit code. There's a government agency independently confirming it's being actively used. And there's a fix that's been available since April. If you're running Tomcat with clustering turned on, this is the week to go check your version number.